Hey, friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time.
In this season, we will be talking about walking while we are waiting.
Welcome back to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. This season, we have shared many examples of what waiting looks like and feels like. I think we all can agree that waiting is a process, and whether it is physical, mental, spiritual, relational, financial healing that we are waiting for, the process takes time. And there are so many things we can learn about ourselves in the process. But even more importantly, knowing the character of God while we wait brings so much peace. I think the greatest takeaway from this season is that as we wait, we can trust God to comfort Yes. and sustain us because He loves us. We want to end this final episode of the season with a conversation about God's love. What does it look like to walk in love? In Isaiah 54:10, the scripture tells us, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you.
Wow, Christy. Well, it's hard to believe that we are recording our final episode to be dropped on the Tuesday before Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, unbelievable. And as we focus our attention on Advent and the promise of our coming King, we celebrate His love. A love that's like no other. A love that is perfect. A love that is most demonstrated while we were yet sinners. He died for us. A love that steps into the middle of our chaos and brings hope and peace. A different kind of love than the world knows. God's love changes everything and is free and available to each one of us.
So true, Kelly. And you know, when God makes a promise to His people, it will come to pass. A promise is a covenant or a declaration that one will do exactly what one says, or something will happen just as pledged. When we've been disappointed by the world or hurt by someone we love, we instinctively start putting up walls of protection because we don't want to be hurt. But the difference between God and man is that God keeps His promises.
That's right.
And so there is so much peace in just knowing that God's covenant love is the kind of love that sustains us and
That's
brings
right.
that peace you're talking about. That's right. Another scripture, Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments."
So as we continue on, we have a very special guest again with us today. And we hope you will be reminded that even as you walk through messy, challenging times, we can remember that God is always working. God loves you. He is working for you. And through His love, He is working out a plan that has great purpose. Even though you might not understand what God is doing, you can be sure that He is moving. So today, our very special guest, her name is Dawn Cassis. She has walked with Jesus since she was a little girl. And she's been married to Tony for 25 years. And I have had the pleasure of getting to know them just in the last few months. And Dawn is one of those people that you just immediately have a heart connection with. You just No, they walk with the Lord. They love the Lord. And it has been a pleasure for our family to get to know your family. So thank you for living that out for us to see.
Thank you. I'm so honored and excited to be here.
We're glad to have you. Also, I just thought it'd be fun to have Tony and your girls help introduce you. So they sent me some fun things just to say about you. But before I do that, I also just want to say Dawn has a PhD in communications, and just what a testimony she is of using that gift to speak truth and to share the word of Christ with students at CSU, with people at her church. She is a professor at CSU, and your students love you.
I can attest to that. I asked Michaela, too, before we get to your husband and your daughters. Michaela had you last year, and I said, Michaela, if there's one thing you could tell me about Miss Cassis, and she said, well, I didn't really love the class because she's not really that extrovert personality where public speaking is a fun thing for her. It was difficult. But she said that you were the kind of professor that she knew from day one you wanted to see her succeed. And so thank you.
And I happened to hear her on the podcast, and she is succeeding. I felt like a proud mama hen, even though you're her mama. I felt like, oh, look at her. She sounded so confident and had great things to share. And I felt
we'll give you some credit for that.
Pride in her, like, oh, look at her go out in the wild.
I was very proud
doing
of
public
her.
Speaking.
Yes,
so that very was proud. Neat to hear.
So let's just continue. Let me share what Tony says.
Okay.
He said, I'll never forget seeing her, meeting her for the first time. My heart skipped several beats. Since then, and for the last 30 years, it's been a gift to share the same heart and rhythm doing life together with her. A true woman of grace, virtue, godliness, and beauty. I love her wholeheartedly.
Well, that's really sweet.
That is precious. And so from your girls. She's a mom that's also a best friend.
We can talk to her about anything and always go to her for wisdom and input. We can laugh and cry together, and we enjoy the same things. It's just fun to hang out with her. And then another one says she puts her whole heart into everything she does, both while we were younger and now she makes every moment special, beautiful, and fun. So you are loved by your people, and we love
you. So nothing's like making me cry before
I know. They sent me that, and I was like, girls, really? Now I'm crying. That's so precious. So they love you, and we would just be honored for you to share with us about what God's love and his redeeming love has looked like in your life, in your family. So,
okay, I'm a little teary. I'm so thankful for my family, but I think about, when I think about redeeming love, I think about the beginning of a season that was really hard for me and for our family. But I realized that God has a way of leading us and telling a beautiful story in our lives and through the good times and the bad times. And as he weaves those together, if we have eyes to see it, a heart to see it, to see his hand at work in our lives, then we experience a richness that we don't, if we don't slow ourselves down and quiet ourselves and see that in our lives. And so for me, that story, when I think about his redeeming love, well, it all started the summer I turned 40. It's like, okay, well, how many stories could we say that started with that? How it started when I turned 40. But seriously, that summer, for some reason, we didn't live near the, for some reason, we didn't live near the beach, but for some reason, we decided that summer, it turned out every other week we were going to the beach, even if it was just for one night, overnight. And one particular trip, we were walking along this beautiful path along the beach. It was a paved path. There was grasses blowing in the wind. And the wind was blowing so strong. The waves were crashing. My girls were just about to enter third grade and sixth grade. So just little cuties. And they're dancing. And I just felt such a closeness to the Lord. And the song that came into my head at that time that I literally just started singing into the wind was It Is Well from Bethel Music. And I know you guys mentioned It Is Well a couple weeks ago. And this song ended up having just such an impact on me. God was preparing my heart then for something I was about to experience later. And so, I mean, you knew it meant something to me. I posted a picture of my girls dancing and I wrote on there the lyrics like, so let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. It is well with my soul. Didn't know what the Lord was going to lead me through in the coming months that were going to test that in so many really important ways. And so, if we fast forward 2 months, so this was October 2nd, there was a hurricane coming. I was a homeschooling mama. We had school to do. We went to the store to grab some things to prepare for a hurricane. And I send the girls up to the classroom and I'm getting our groceries out as quickly as possible. We have friends coming over in the afternoon to make our thankful trees, you know, all of the things. And so in all of my busyness and all of the important things I had to do, I'm getting the groceries from the floor. And as I come up from a squat, I came up straight up and hit my head on the overhang of our granite countertop. Wow. And in that moment, I was like, wow, well, that hurt. And this could be bad. Like I felt in that moment, man, like this could be bad. And so I sat down for a little bit. I was like, I tried to do some school with the girls. I was like, I don't think I can do this. I mean, I didn't pass out. I did not have blood. There was no dramatic moment. Right. And I ended up driving myself to the doctor and later to a CAT scan and was sent home like, okay, looks like you have a concussion. Okay, rest. Okay, I can rest. Although in that season, I don't think I knew that season because I know what it is now, knew what rest was very well. And I was teaching online. I was homeschooling. I was developing curriculum online for a couple different universities at the time. And I was busy. I had important things to do in my head. Right. So I rested that weekend and it just wasn't getting better over the course of 2 weeks. Wasn't getting better, almost seemed like it was getting worse. And my parents at the time, they live in New York. And at the time, they had a townhouse. We lived in North Carolina. And they would come down for the winters. And so they said, well, why don't we come down a little earlier? You know, it's the beginning of October. We'll come. We'll help. And I remember thinking to myself as I laid in the bed, oh, it's really not necessary. Like, sweet of them, but don't rush down. Don't make a thing of it. It'll be fine. I'm fine. By 3 weeks, they had come and I was continuing to get worse. And something that they say with concussions, and at that time, they were just kind of beginning to learn more about how to deal with concussions. Before that, it was stay in a dark room till you get better. They were beginning to learn you do as much as you can until you reach that threshold where you it starts to get bad for you and stop. You know, physical therapy says go a little bit beyond. And this says, like, stay just below. Right. And what interestingly happened is over the course of the next few weeks, that threshold got lower and lower and lower until all I actually could do is stay in a dark room with the windows closed. I couldn't look at my phone. I couldn't read. I couldn't talk. I couldn't have conversations. Couldn't have a light on. I couldn't work. So I needed to ask them to have someone fill in the rest of the semester for me.
Wow.
And I was in complete darkness. I couldn't go down to eat. I couldn't walk down the stairs. I got to the point I couldn't even handle any time with my daughters. And so we ended up having 5-minute whisper visits where we would sit. They would have one at a time would have 5 minutes with me. We would whisper and hug and hug and hug and tell each other we loved each other. And how, what have you done today? And then the timer would go off and my parents were there. My mom would call them down and the next one would come up for five minutes. And that was it. That's all my brain could handle. I remember one day there was actually sunshine coming in through the window and it was hitting my foot and it was like, oops, the accidental sunshine, but it was just that warmth. And I remember just longing for the day that I could see the sun again, could feel the warmth of the sun on me again. So this went on for weeks. The neurologist ended up saying, don't bother coming anymore because we're not really sure how long or if you'll fully recover or how that will look. So it's just a matter of time. I went to a physical therapist to help with some things. And after our initial meeting, they called and said we had a meeting with all of our PTs and they broke up with me because they said, like, we don't really think we can help you and we don't want to waste your time.
Wow.
And so I was alone. And, you know, they consider what do they call that? Solitary confinement. Like that's considered a punishment, right? Because isolation is not what we're built for.
Right.
And certainly not isolation in the darkness. And that is all that I physically could handle. Because if anything stimulated my brain too much, too, like conversation, even walking, my brain would go into this weird overdrive place. Like, I don't know. I had a manual car when I first had a car. And if I accidentally got that in the wrong gear, it would just go like, you know, the car would lurch forward and it made that loud noise. And that's basically what my brain would do. And I would just lay there and pray for God to help me. I was alone. And so there I laid alone and it got scarier because I started having audio hallucinations where I started to hear music that wasn't actually there. And so I would think, like, what are you watching on TV out there, you know? And they were like, nothing. You know, there's nothing on it. I heard carnival music. I heard rap. I heard heavy metal.
Wow.
But the scariest place where it was the loudest and most clear was actually an actual song that we know. It was a Stephanie Gretzinger song called There's No Fear in Love. And I would love to say that it was like, oh my gosh, there's my story of love. Like the Lord came through and I suddenly felt the light, even in the darkness. But that's not actually what happened. What actually happened for me is that that was so scary that it did not strike out fear in me. It felt like mocking. It felt like a mockery. And I felt even more alone through that. And God had so many things to teach me in the darkness.
Wow.
And he had so much to show me about his love for me in the darkness. And so one of the things was that song came into my head. I had nothing. I had nothing to fill me or fuel me. And I just wanted to read some of it because it's so, to me, it's so powerful. And it really ministered to me in that dark, dark place. And it says, grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred will be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. And the second verse goes into saying, far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name, and it is well with my soul. And every single part of that song resonated with me. The mountain in front of me of this brokenness that neurologists are telling me, like, I don't know if it's going to go away, right? The brokenness of your life is like everything that you think was so important and defined who you are is gone. Homeschooling mama, gone. My dad now is giving my kids like spelling tests in the next room, which was kind of funny to listen to. But it was gone. Every single thing was gone, except the Lord was there and it was just me and him. And in that silence, I honestly can say I couldn't get to that one part of the song that said it is well with my soul. I couldn't get there. I mean, it's the mockery of everything being gone, the mockery of that song, There's No Fear in Love, ringing in my head. There was no sleep. Like, a part of a head injury is often that you can't sleep. So there was no escape from that darkness. And so another thing that the Lord did in reaching out to me was not just bringing that song into my mind, but he brought to me Psalm 103. And I don't know if I memorized that as a child or as an adult, but I know that the Lord brought it to my mind, and it is exactly that passage, except that it's two different versions combined. So I guess I don't know. But it's, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all of your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion, and he satisfies your desires with good things. And I just started to meditate on those words piece by piece. And I was like, okay, Lord, like, yeah, I get this. Like, you forgive my sins. I get it. And please forgive my sins. This is why I'm here. You know, like, you heal all of our diseases, including this. Like, you are my healer. And I would pray that over myself. That third part, you redeem my life from the pit. Okay, so we had painted our walls in our bedroom before all of this because, oh, it's so chic, charcoal gray. It's like, oh my God, right? Why would I do that? But it felt like a literal pit. But it says, it didn't just say, I'm going to pull you up out of the pit. It's not like, oh, I'm going to get you out of this and yay, you're out of it. I'm going to redeem your life from the pit, which means not only because, you know, I'm not going to just pull you out. I'm going to make it more beautiful because you were in that pit in the first place. I'm going to redeem your life from that pit. And then that next part stood out to me so much too, because he said, I'm going to crown you with love and compassion. So part of that was like, at that time, it spoke to me so much because I used to just pray like, God, if you could just breathe for a second on my head. That's all I need. I just need you to breathe on me. I just remember that longing. And he said, I have more for you than that. I have a crown of love and compassion I'm going to put on you. So I think of crowning someone, they're placing that on your head. It's like, I'm going to give you, I'm putting on your head of all things for me in that moment, my love and my compassion. I love you and I have compassion for you. And I'm placing that on your head. Wow. But then it's not just that, because when someone is crowned, it's not just like putting a party hat on. A crown is, there's an authority put there. When I have a crown put on my head, if someone has that crown put on their head, it's giving them a position and authority to then therefore administer that love and compassion, to give that love and compassion. And so he taught me through that not only am I going to place it on your head because I love you, but I'm going to put you in a position because of this to give that love and compassion to other people.
Wow.
And that's part of his redeeming love for us, is that we get to participate in what he is doing and what he wants to do on this earth. And then that last part, of course, I liked because it was like, I'm going to satisfy your desires with good things. And like that too, like, I want to get out of this pit and I want to have good things. And I just would meditate on that over and over and over several times a day, 24 hours. And again, I wish that it was like, oh, yeah. And then it just like was like, oh, the light came on and my head was healed. And that's not the journey that I walked. In fact, things got darker for us as a family. So 2 months in, I wasn't really making it out of my room much yet. And my dad, they were in their townhouse at the time, and my dad ended up having a seizure. He's never had seizures before. And long story short is that over the next few weeks, we discovered he ended up having brain cancer.
Wow.
And what would need to happen is they needed to go back home to New York and have go through the whole process of treatment of surgery, radiation, chemo. So this is December 3rd this happened. So we're talking 2 months in.
Wow.
December 23rd. So I was having dinner with my family, one of the first few. I'd come down maybe for some dinner and then end up going back up to my room. Having a dinner with my little family, one of our first, and Tony had the first, my husband Tony had the first of five different choking incidents where I needed to give him the Heimlich maneuver. And at that time, I was over 25 pounds lighter than I am now. I had been in bed for 2 months. Like, I was weak. I was barely able to even sit at the table. And as that happened, I just remember just literally shrieking and screaming out to Jesus.
Yeah.
To help.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of a big, strong guy, and I could barely, you know, like get my arms around him, and it didn't even feel like it was working, the Heimlich. And it did. You know, he's with us today, thankfully.
Yeah.
But again, it was like the fear, the darkness, the vulnerability, the sense that it's like, have you left us, Lord? Like, yeah. Do you even see us anymore? Like, what is going on? What is happening to us? And I learned through all of this that this is where he leads us, that while we're in the darkness, even when the darkness seems like it's mocking us, when it feels like it just keeps getting worse and there's not a quick solution in sight, that he always is, always near. And he loves us. And so he started to lead in a new direction and show me what that really looked like in the coming months.
Wow. Oh, Dawn, thank you so much for sharing. I didn't even know those stories. And I just can resonate in so many places, just... God, where are you? But I know he's there, but it feels so hard and so painful. And I look forward to what God is going to continue to share with us through you. But we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. My name is Adriana. I produce and edit this podcast. I just want to let you know, Walking with Kelly and Christy is an independent podcast. That means it thrives and grows on your support. So please continue to interact with the podcast, follow it, share it with all of those around you. It really is the best way for us to grow. Thank you for your continued support and helping us reach new audiences. And remember, keep walking.
Welcome back. And Dawn, we just are so thankful for you sharing your personal testimony of just a dark place and a hard place. And I know, you know, we've shared on this podcast what Kelly has been going through with her hard, difficult season. But I just know for myself and for our listeners, we all can relate in those pits. Moments. And I've been blessed already that you are just willing to share just your vulnerable parts. And I am looking forward to what you're going to share in the next few minutes about what God's been teaching you since 7 years ago all of this was taking place. So thank you again for being here at the table with us. And
Thank you. And sharing. I'm thankful to be able to share the next part of the story, that we don't just stay there in the darkness. Right. I'm obviously not still there in the darkness, thankfully. And what he taught along the way is, I think, been life-changing, because we don't just go through one hard thing, like you're saying, one or just one person experiences dark places, but that throughout our lives we do. And when we can learn and get a grasp of God's purpose for those dark places, then we get to use that every time in our lives. And it helps us grow closer to Him. It builds our faith, and it makes us more effective for His glory. And so I think about, as I was slowly coming out of that time, so it didn't happen. I was hoping it would, like, oh, you know, is it better? Am I waking? You know, I would finally be able to sleep. Or I remember small victories, like going downstairs on my own, like going downstairs to make my own oatmeal. And, you know, we're not talking fancy oatmeal. We're talking instant, right? But I was able to do that on my own. And little by little, I was healing. But something else was happening in me during that time. I was learning to just be, that my identity was not wrapped up in what I did or what anything that I was to other people. It was who I was. And it was one of the most meaningful conversations I think I maybe ever had with my dad. Was he was like kind of like watching me. One day when my mom took my girls to school for the day, and we sat across the table, and he talked about his experience also and mine, and for both of us. So it was like, you know, our identity can be so wrapped up in what we do or how we think, and it's not in that. It's so much in who He is and how we are with Him. That's our identity. Our identity truly is in Him, and it's not in all of the other things. And so what I ended up finding is that little by little I grew, and I had a flip, one of those little flip scripture things, right? Yeah. And the calendar. And so I would be able to read that one a day. And then I was like totally just praying Psalm 103. And then a little bit grew into, like, I ended up with like my three little devotions a day, like in tiny spurts. But He was just filling me, and I started to be able to slowly like have a part of my family's life. And slowly, little by little, He was showing me that the value of His nearness and His presence was the real answer to my prayer. It wasn't in like, when am I going to get all better and I'm going to be able to do all the things and be so busy again? That wasn't the answer. The true healing for me was in those moments with Him, and realizing in a way that I cannot adequately describe with words, is that it's really not about all of the rest of this. It's really about His nearness. And it's like, that's what we're going to end. We're going to have that for eternity, right? That fullness in Him, that nearness to Him. And so it doesn't sound like, I don't adequately convey this because I don't want it to sound the wrong way, but I learned in that time that He is not afraid of our suffering like we're afraid of our suffering. Right. And we think that the answer is just get me through this, get me out of, like, pull me out of the pit instead of redeem my life from the pit. And His love for us is really in the fact that He allows us to go through these things to draw us closer, giving us the opportunity to draw closer to Him. If we take Him up on that, if we take Him up on drawing closer to Him, He will draw close to us. Uh-huh. And, you know, James 1 was something that, you know, really stood out to me. You know, it's like when troubles, this version, I'm not even sure what version this is, maybe New Living Translation. But when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And really what that is like, ever think about like those people that are in their 80s and they're just like so close to the Lord, and they've been through stuff in their lives, and you just think, man, I want to be like that, where they just trust the Lord, and they just have, I should not have said it. It's good. But it's like, you know, I want to be like that. I want to be like one of those people, right? And what led them to that place is that they've been through some stuff.
Right.
They've been through dark places, and that if they're drawn closer to the Lord, it's because they've experienced him. They've experienced his nearness. What I also kind of learned through that is that it doesn't just mean that we get through it and we're out of it.
Right. Right.
You know, it's like, yay, I got the prize. I'm better now. Right. I am better now. And he redeemed it. He's given me opportunities. Like it's a whole other story about me being at CSU and him opening up that door so that, yes, I can administer that love and compassion that he has given to me. My dad, 8 years later, is still with us, wow. You know, but I have also experienced some really hard times since then. Yeah. We've experienced devastating, stunning, shocking loss in our family, and there's not really a good answer for that. There's no way out of that. And so what I think about these things, it's like, it's not just getting us out of it. It's realizing that the real prize is that nearness to him, and that he loves us enough to let us experience suffering and pain, to have the opportunity to grow in our closeness to him. Because when we get a taste of that, we realize like every other thing that we think is what matters doesn't really matter quite as much as that nearness to him. And so when we're facing the times of darkness, and like, Kelly, you've had times of darkness, I'm sure, you know, like just sometimes it feels like mockery, like there's no fear in love. Sometimes it might even feel like, you know, it's like it's not ending, like it just keeps going, right? It's like it's just not perfect yet. And I had another concussion a year ago, and it was like the tiniest little hit, and it caused me to not be able to drive for 3 months.
Wow.
And it's not the perfect little solution, and now I'm the healthiest thing ever, right? Like my poor little brain just apparently is like troubled now, you know? But the thing is to realize that in the middle of the darkness, when it feels like there's that mocking, when it feels like we're just not getting out of it, when it feels like he's not coming through. It's not fixed. It's not perfect. It's not over, you know, that he hasn't left us, and we still have the ultimate prize, which is his nearness. And when we get just the tiniest glimpse of that, really we have won. We have really won. We have everything we need. And so for me, may he crown us, you know, crowning you with his love, crowning all of us with his love and his compassion, to realize like that's what he puts on our heads. And that is what he wants us to give out, not as a responsibility, but because he bestowed it on us in the middle of the darkness. And he redeems it by giving it purpose, because he wastes nothing if we allow him to not waste it. And we get, that's our part. Like we get to either say like, I'm just going to wither away in the darkness, and like, I'm just going to shrivel up, or I'm going to take him at this and keep pressing into him and trust that word that you guys were saying. I just love that, because trusting him, even when it doesn't make sense. And I feel like even this, you know, as I think about all of this, that your podcast is part of that.
Yeah.
Like you are you are living that, him redeeming the broken parts of your life, to share your story, to share parts of it that make you vulnerable, that it's, you're sharing in that because you're making that, you're part of this beautiful story. I mean, I've listened to this podcast so many times with like tears in my eyes and just like, God is so good, reminded of his faithfulness, because you're participating in that redeeming love. You're showing that love through that. And in the middle of things not being all fixed, you're living that out. And I really think that is the core of his redeeming love for us.
Thank you so much.
So good.
Encouraging us.
I needed to hear that again. Just, You know, even as we walk through it, we want it fixed. We want it better. We think God's love is more complete if we're well or fixed, but it just seems like God does things the opposite of what we think most of the time.
And it's through connection. I mean, I didn't know your story either, Dawn, but I can so connect with you in your brokenness because I have my brokenness. Mm-hmm. I have my redeemed areas that God has come and sat with me, and his presence alone is all I need in that moment. And so our listeners are broken. They have areas of brokenness. And we invite you just to sit with God. Let him sit with you in the broken pieces. And test him. He's told us we can test him. And he will. He'll show us what that looks like.
I think he ends up making it into a really rich and beautiful story if we quiet ourselves enough to actually listen and see what he's doing. You know, the song was so significant to me about the wind and the waves and trusting him. And I was eventually able, like through many months, to get to that place of understanding and accepting that whole it as well. Like getting to that place. But it took me a long time to get there. And there were some other things he did actually along the way that were just amazing. That I was like, wow. I mean, things from the summer that were so meaningful. And then he just added so much more meaning through the experiences that we had. But if we don't quiet ourselves enough, that we don't seek him, I think that was the gift of that isolation, was that there was nothing else but him. I mean, I was I was forced into it, right? But we can choose that. We can choose to quiet ourselves and let him. We don't need a head injury to get to that place, but he will show us it. It turns into this rich, beautiful tapestry where he shows that the beauty of the brokenness, and he shows how that is when that's pieced together. It's like a tapestry. It's like a work of art, and it's beautiful.
The word that we were talking about is kintsugi. And I just wanted to explain what that art is. It's something that I came across this week. And it's the art of repairing something that has been broken with gold. It's a Japanese art form of kin, meaning golden, sugi, meaning rejoining. And like the art of kintsugi, God repairs the brokenness in our lives. And your testimony is absolutely beautifully goes right along with that process of what kintsugi is. And we're going to share a video because I don't know that I can do it justice to explain it exactly. But we all can relate to, I mean, even if you took a hammer to a ceramic pot or, you know, something is broken, a beautiful piece of china, and we all can relate to those broken pieces. And I think what I learned about this art is that the Japanese will sit with those pieces. They don't glue them back together immediately. They don't throw them away, but they see the brokenness as an opportunity to be put back together. And it's put back together through a golden lacquer, which connects those pieces, and it highlights the brokenness. And, you know, as you were sharing your story, and I know Kelly's story, and we haven't gotten to a lot of my story in this podcast, but it is the brokenness. Like, God uses the broken pieces to connect with others in our lives. And so we're going to share just that kintsugi art with y'all through our show notes this week. And Kelly, anything you wanted to add to that
Well, story. It's just a beautiful picture of how God takes the broken areas that we often want to hide or we're ashamed of. We don't want anybody else to see. But in this kintsugi, it's highlighted with gold. And it stands out and it's beautiful. And often in our lives, those are the areas that God uses to show his glory. That's because right. We were so weak and he can be strong in the areas that are cracked or fragile or broken. And it's beautiful. We can't wait for you to read about it and watch the video of it this week.
And this is just our reminder to y'all. You know that we like to leave you with something every week. And so we will leave that video for you to watch. But we also just want to remind you, if you feel broken or weak and wondering how God can use someone like you, just remember that he loves you. He loves to use broken people. And just love you. We wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And so until next time,
keep walking.
Rooted Studio.